On behalf of the family, Wilma and Thomas, Joanna and David, Debbie and Ronald, Henry and Alma, Tina and Lee, 18 grandchildren, 26 great-grandchildren, I want to thank you, all of you, for coming to this place and time as we gather to celebrate the life of John, but to support the family and one another. We will take the time to mourn the loss of John, Dad, Grandpa, Opa, and friend. We will take the time also to remember the place that John had in our lives, the times that we shared with him. Grief and pain is real, and it's here today. John went home to be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the age of 92, and his presence in the lives of his family and his friends will be truly missed. But the family celebrates, knowing that although he no longer lives with us, yet John lives on. John's passing, just as the harvest is taking place, and as a lifelong farmer, it's a testament of the love of God. And we too remember that Christ's death was paid for our sins and his resurrection, though we all who believe have the promise of eternal life. And now, no longer waiting for the return of Christ, John celebrates in the presence of Christ. Today we gather to support one another, to remember the special place that John had in our lives in so many different ways. We'll take time to reflect. We will sing songs chosen by the family to remind ourselves of God's goodness as we come together in his presence. The songs that spoke to John, songs that sustained him in his times of struggle, songs that lifted his spirits, and songs offered up in praise to his heavenly Father. And today it is our prayer that these songs will lift your spirits as well as we celebrate the life given to John and how he shared that life with those he loved. But before we do all that, we're going to start with prayer. So please join with me to pray to the one who holds all things in his hands, even life and death. Let us pray. Father God, you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, you are almighty, and yet we come to you and you invite us to call you Father. We praise you even at a time like this because you know sorrow. You stand with us in our time of grief. We praise you because we know that you not only stand with us, but you carry us through these times of grief. We thank you for your great love for us, that even though we mourn the passing of John, we celebrate that you have given to him the gift of eternal life. Father, you are good all the time, no matter what, your goodness reigns, and that is why we praise you. Comfort the family and friends of John. Give us the strength in this service as we reflect, remember, and offering this up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Listen now to these words of hope. Words from Scripture to remind us who God is. Words to carry us in our times of sorrow. Words that give us hope. From the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am." The Apostle Paul spoke these words to the church at Rome. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor the future, or any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And it is that in Jesus we can rest in the promises of eternal life, because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." These are words from God's words, words of life, words that give us hope. I would invite you to rise as we sing 694, The Lord's My Shepherd. Please be seated. I would invite Joanna and Henry and Wilma to come forward for a time of remembrances.
I'm so happy to see all of you here today to celebrate our dad. A man who loved his life and lived it long and lived it well. This is how I imagine Dad's final goodbye. I'll ask you all to just close your eyes for a moment. All of Dad's family and friends are gathered on the east porch at the farm. So many of us, we cover the grass right down to the lane. We turn towards the barn, and there comes Dad, driving his old Alice Chalmers towards the light at the end of the lane. He turns back towards the house, looks over his shoulder, and waves goodbye with a huge smile on his face. Turning towards the last rays of light, Dad heads to his final home. As much as he loved to wander, Dad always knew where he was going in the end. I've written a letter I'd like to share with you. Dear Dad, I'll remember you in the wheat fields and the golden rows of grass, in the scent of fresh-mown summer hay and the smoky smell of pipe, the lime of electric shave. The warmth of flannel shirts and fuzzy vests and socks, your joy at grandchild visits, and your handsome, smiling face. I'll remember you in the sunsets and the early breaking dawn, and in the stately rows of maples as the foliage turned their red. While driving down some country road where I've never been, I'll wonder at who lives there at the farm I've never seen. I'll remember you in the winter birds at feeders and the tall hollyhocks of pink, the busy traffic on the highway and farm tractors going by, cows and horses in the pasture and the bleats of newborn calves. I'll remember you in each piece of pie and how you always asked for two, and your love for food and company and how your light always shone through. I'll remember you in your speaking, making each person that special one, in your kindness to your community and everyone whom you met, your love for God and Canada and your family through and through. I'll keep striving to follow your example and be the best like you. But really what I'd like to say, and this I know is true, in the early morning breaking, when I head out on the land, I'll hear the birds awakening and glance to the sky above. As sunlight breaks across the fields, I'll remember your steadfast love. With deepest gratitude always, love, Joe.
Although I'm not quite as poetic as my sister. First and foremost, I would like to thank you all personally for joining us today to celebrate the life of the greatest man I ever knew, my dad, John Walters. As I scan the crowd, I come to the realization on just how many lives this man has touched. Maybe you're part of our somewhat large extended family, or perhaps maybe you're a farmer or a friend or a colleague. It doesn't matter. John loved all and was loved by all. Dad always had a special knack to make conversation. Could be randomly. We didn't even have to know the person. Dad would always pick up a conversation or meet with anyone, and everybody always felt better for it. My friends were always around, either helping on in the hay or whatever. I'm not even going to describe what whatever was, but they all said that your dad, he was the coolest, and my reply was always the same, I know, right? It didn't take much time as a young boy to figure out Dad had a very special plan for his one and only son, slavery. Oh, not really. I loved every minute of it. Dad always wanted me to help him fix fence along the bush to keep the cows in early in the spring when the mosquitoes were the thickest, of course. And Dad would always send me down the fence line, only because the mosquitoes liked me a lot more than they did him, and I was a human sacrifice. But it kept the cows in the inn, so. Enough of all that. What about me? On Saturday, August 12th, at 12:15 a.m., I lost my best friend, my mentor, my sounding board, my voice of reason. Dad and I had an amazing relationship built on love and respect. That reminds me of another must-tell story. When I started high school, I went to Port Perry High, and it wasn't very long before I started out with hanging out with all the Ontario County Dairy Boys, and we had all decided we were going to attend a big, huge bull and semen sale in Elora, Ontario. So I mentioned it to Dad, and Dad thought, "Oh, that would be awesome. But it'd be even more awesome if I could come." So I said, "Change of plans, Dad, you can drive." So Dad and I and three of my friends piled in Dad's brand new Oldsmobile 88. And I mean brand new, like picked up on Friday and it's Tuesday morning. And we headed her for the sale. We had a great day, enjoyed ham and cheese sandwiches and some slices of Dad's favorite cherry pie. And while at the event, it started to pour rain. I mean, pour rain like I'd never even seen it pour rain before. You couldn't even see outside the tents. We were all worried that we weren't going to get out of there. But Dad said, no problem. New car, new tires, lots of weight. I got this. We all carefully hopped into Dad's brand new car, trying to keep our feet on the mat so we didn't get the new car all dirty. And with a big smile on his face, he says, away we go. Well, we all away we go'd for about 20 feet. Then he broke down through the sod and it all came to a screaming halt. Now, what I said was, I think we might need a little tow, Dad. Dad says, I think we might just need a little push. And he turned to me, and then he turned to the poor unsuspecting victims in the back seat of the car. You guys, start pushing, and I'll just give it a little gas, he says. Well, the little gas was a whole lot of gas, and before you knew it, we were covered head to toe in mud. So, we got the big old Olds out, but it was anything but a shiny new car. Anyways, so we all started to get back in the car, and Dad took one look at it and says, not on your life. So anyways, here we are, all four of us, stripped right down to our gitch, driving all the way back home from Aurora, Ontario in that brand new car. Nothing but a smile, I tell you. But it was a great day. Going forward is going to be one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. In time, the tears will dry and the hearts will heal. He will always be remembered for his kindness and his soft smile. John Walters was truly one of the great ones. Dad left us with one of the greatest gifts of life, the gift of strength, the power to prevail, the courage to conquer. With all our friends and family, we are strong. Thank you, John Walters. My dad?
So before I start, I would like to read a letter we received from my cousin Diana in California. It says, Dear Uncle John, I so wish I could have been at your celebration of life. It is certainly a life to celebrate. Your accomplishments are manifold and recognized by many. As the oldest cousin of this clan, I feel privileged that I had a bit more time with you. Giving young people your time is one of your greatest gifts. You taught me so much. How not to fall off a tractor, sorry about that. How to pick vegetables and fruit. How to laugh at life's curveballs and how to be strong. You taught me how to bring cows in for milking, a whole herd of them. As a city suburban kid, I was scared of those gentle giants at first. You taught me how to love and milk them. It helped that they all had names and that the lead cow knew exactly what she was doing. I certainly didn't at first. You instilled confidence in me with your humility, intelligence, kindness, and wit. Memories of riding around with you on the tractor and finding that rock we used to sit on are vivid. We used to sit on that rock and have a snack. And then when I became older, we sat on that rock and debated political issues. We were not always on the same side, in fact, rarely, but that is what made it so interesting. You conversed not aggressively. You explained your views in a way that a young person could understand. That experience, as well as being able to write, led me into journalism. But what you showed me the most, and I'm sure everyone who has had the pleasure and opportunity to be in your life, is the importance of kindness, love, and respect. You made the world a better place, and I will always love you for it. Diana Reinstra. And then I just had a short email from our Uncle Harold in Australia. Your father was always someone I enjoyed being with. When younger, Friday evening visits to the farm saw me rushing to the barn, watching, chatting, helping while John was doing the milking. Later in life, I enjoyed our conversations on social issues and politics. He was a brother-in-law, but also my friend. So, as you will have noticed in the bulletin, after the service, there will be interment at Black Stock Union Cemetery, and then a time for reflection and sharing at the Malcolm Farm. We would love for you to all come. We have plenty of food, plenty of pictures, and look forward to sharing the memories. If you choose not to go to the interment, there will be people at the farm that will greet you before the family gets there. At this time, I would also like to express our family's sincere thanks to all of you for being here. Thank you to Pastor John. We are grateful that you can guide us through the celebration of Dad. It was wonderful when we met that you were able to share some personal stories about your dad and ours. To Leo, thank you for the gift of music. Dad always enjoyed music in this church setting, and I think at one time he even thought maybe he should be in the choir, but he always spoke highly of Leo's music, so thank you. To Dad's church community, thank you for the prayers, the phone calls, and the visits, especially when Dad was no longer able to attend church. We won't have to send out any search parties for him when he comes too early and disappears, or wonder why he left the wallet on the, whether we should take all the money out of the wallet for the offering or return it to him. Anyway, a little bit of history about Dad. Dad arrived in Halifax on February 21st, 1951, after sailing across the Atlantic on board the Vallandigham. With landed immigrant status, he set out to make his mark in this country. Life began on a potato farm in Nova Scotia. And as Dad's story goes, he was hired to clear the land with a very dull axe. Add to that a daily diet of potatoes and more potatoes, Dad soon decided that job was not for him. He threw down his axe, grabbed his trunk, and trudged to the train station, boarding a train bound for Ontario. During the trip, looking quite forlorn and feeling a little sorry for himself, he was befriended by a Frenchman from Quebec. This man took pity on John. One spoke French, one spoke Dutch. But language was not a barrier as they shared a flask between them. Things began to look much brighter, and by the time Dad reached Ontario, he was once again filled with optimism and hope, and perhaps a wee headache. The first few years, Dad worked at various jobs, carpentry, a stint at GM. He cleared stalls at Winfield Farms and worked at Heber Down. He boarded in the Whitby area. Searching to find his place in Ontario, he also joined Young People's and eventually found Mum. In May 1957, Mom and Dad were the first couple married in this church. Dad had found his second passion, a beautiful wife to ground him. Not long after, in March 1958, I arrived, and I like to think Dad had his second plus one passion. It was time to look for a place to set down roots, though. So he began to look at farms, and in April of 1959, Dad purchased his third passion, the farm in Blackstock, where he spent his entire life. Life wasn't easy and the work was difficult, but Dad loved it and he set about fulfilling his dream. Shortly after moving to the farm, Joanna arrived in July, followed by Debbie, the preemie, Henry, the favorite son, and Tina, the baby in the family. Their life was full, keeping busy day and night, working the land, milking the cows, enjoying his family and his friends. No matter how busy life was, though, Sunday saw the Walters family attending church, and no matter how hard Dad tried, we would always be late. Everyone believed it was because of the milking, but we kids knew better. Dad was particular, and in fact, we'd often roll our eyes and call him a fusspot. But we could not pile into the car without passing inspection Sunday morning. Often he would fix a collar, send us in to brush our hair again, or even buff our shoes. We had to be looking our Sunday best. Dad's fourth passion was his community. He believed in giving back, and as such was a member of many, many organizations. The Cattlemen's Association, Blackstock Ag Society, Central 7, which is now Community Care, Durham Christian Homes, and so many, many more. And if that wasn't enough to keep him busy, he threw his hat into the political ring, and much to Mum's dismay, he won. He was a much respected and described as a fair and honest politician, something we don't hear said too often these days. A farm accident in 1986 sent him back, and Dad sold his milk quota and dairy cattle and decided to turn his farming attention to raising beef cattle for a little easier workload. Dad loved watching the cattle graze in the fields, and in quiet times, we could find him just leaning on the fence doing just that. With more time on his hands, though, he set about learning to be a real estate agent and eventually sold many, many farms, earning him a few awards from Frank Real Estate. In February 2005, while a beautiful hoarfrost greeted the morning and a neighbor was at the road capturing the beauty of the frost on the trees, flames were licking at the bales in the barn. It didn't take long for them to reach the sky, and the entire Woolhart barn was in flames. Fire crews worked desperately and successfully to save the outbuildings and our home, and we considered ourselves lucky. With determination and hard work, a lot of help from the community, and a crew of Mennonites, the barn was rebuilt. Dad was so proud of his new barn, and all was well at the Woolhart Farm. But the year wasn't done with its challenges, and Dad had a motor vehicle accident in a snowstorm in December of that same year, just a short distance from home. With time and care, Dad recovered and began his journey towards semi-retirement. Despite all these challenges, Dad remained committed to his first passion, his faith. He never wavered in his belief that the good Lord would see him through whatever might befall him. He was so proud to be a Canadian that on his 91st birthday, when the family was gathered to sing Happy Birthday, he asked us all to sing O Canada First. He stood tall and proud and beaming as the song resonated within the barn walls. His love of the land was profound, and he enjoyed showing off his property, walking to the back 50s or through the woods or along the river with whomever would join him. Within his community, John was considered a respectful, honest, and forthright gentleman, a giving person and a friend to many. He was thrilled to be recognized and received the Queen Elizabeth II Golden Jubilee Award for his contributions and achievements over the years. Somewhere along the line, Dad started to age, and the challenges of getting old began to tell on him. We as a family committed to keeping him home as long as we could physically do it. As Dad became frailer and dementia started to creep in, we knew we needed more help. to Brenda and Aaron, the PSWs that came 5 days a week, to the neighbors, friends, and relatives that stopped by to visit. We are forever grateful. We couldn't have done it without you. Dad's final hours came on the heels of a broken hip and surgery. He survived for 7 days. We were hopeful for 5 of them that he would be able to come home. When we knew he would not recover, we brought him home to his community, to the Oak Ridge Hospice, as close to the Woolhart Farm as we could get him. He was comfortable and died peacefully on August 12th. John Walters touched each and every one of you here today and many, many more. He will be remembered for his listening ear, for always taking the time to chat, for his genuine interest in you as an individual. His kindness, his strength, and his compassion are to be cherished. For us, for all of us that called him Dad, Grandpa, and Opa, we will cherish the memories, and we will try to live by the lessons we were taught. Remember the way he made you feel, special, safe, and always, always loved. Dad lived a long, fulfilled, beautiful life. He met his dreams, he fulfilled his dreams, and he was so very, very proud of all of us. We will hold him forever in our hearts. Rest in peace, Dad. Love you.